Are you doing Andrew's?
No, but I'll we didn't. We did my show.
Well, that's not your goal. That's what you want.
No, I don't. I'm saying that's what's happening. Yeah.
The first time we were told, second time we were told. Well, I think maybe it's this time. Well, maybe it's too much. This time, I'm going to work on this.
Welcome to Jenkins Cumberland Presbyterian Church on this cold morning. I know the kids are kind of hoping it snows so they might get out of school. I don't know if that's going to happen or not. But anyway, good morning and welcome. Are there any special announcements besides? But go ahead, Sharon. I'll let you tell them. You worked hard on it. Any questions about that? Miss Elizabeth. I know. Are any other announcements? Susan? Is there any other general announcements? How about first-time visitors on Sunday morning? I know some of our Wednesday night people are here.
We have first-time visitors here. I think four people on my right hand. You must be recognized when we overlook. Well, we have that. Give you a big shout.
We got some people here in the middle. Have they been here before? Linda? Okay, well, welcome. And
Linda, your daughter has not been here on Sunday morning. Linda used to be a member of this church. She moved away and came back to Chapel Hill. Well, welcome this morning. Introduce your daughter. And good to see you, girl. Okay.
And then we have some of our Wednesday night people over here.
The Hatfields. And
welcome.
Right.
Yes, Sheila. A form in the bulletin. I did mean to say something about it and then I overlooked it. Mary Beth? Okay. Is there anything else before we move on to the prayer list? Okay, are there any prayer or praise concerns we'd like to mention this morning? Linda? Are there any other prayer or praise? Okay. If not, we would like to pause for a moment of silent prayer, preparing our hearts for worship. and use this time to pray silently and lift up your hearts for worship. In the bulletin and is responsive. Rejoice in the Lord always.
Again, say rejoice.
Let your gentleness be known to everyone.
The Lord is near.
The Spirit of the Lord God is upon me.
Community or around the world. Thank you for the fellowship of this hour that transforms us into your people. Lord, help us to honor and glorify you with every thought, every action, every word. Speak to us and allow us to speak for you. Allow us to speak to you that we might bring glory unto you. And Lord God, we offer our prayer in the name of Jesus. Now coming to pray as he taught us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Please remain standing as we put in words that which we believe. As we recite the Apostles' Creed.
I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended into Hades. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth on the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From this he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen.
Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Ghost, as it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be. His way and the evil man his thoughts. Let him turn to the Lord, and he will have mercy on him, and to our God he will freely pardon. Our prayer of confession, and you may say it in unison. God of grace and truth. In Jesus Christ, you came among us as light shining in darkness. We confess that we have not welcomed the light or trusted good news to be good. We have closed our eyes to glory in our midst, expecting little and hoping for less. Forgive our doubt and renew our hope, so that we may receive the fullness of your grace and live in the truth of Christ the Lord.
Amen. Assurance of forgiveness. Who is a God like you who pardons sin and forgives the transgression of the remnant of his inheritance? You do not stay angry forever, but delight to show mercy.
We need the Lord, we grieve.
children's choir. It's your time.
Peace in my life, the one day. Thank you.
children's church with Ms. Bomar, if you'd like.
Children's choir for the offertory center.
Oh.
Emily.
So I guess if you're in the children's choir, she needs you to stay in
just
for just
Emily,
a minute.
Haley, Allison, Bethany, and Amelia.
Offertory sentence this morning, each of you must bring a gift in proportion to the way the Lord your God has blessed you. If the ushers will please come forward.
again to your hymnals, please. And we will sing the first verse, these four hymns listed, 152, 157, 166, and 141. First verse is on.
After Jesus had finished instructing his 12 disciples, he went on from there to teach and preach in towns, in the towns of Galilee. When John heard in prison what Christ was doing, he sent his disciples three to ask him, "Are you the one who was to come, or should we expect someone else?" Jesus replied, "Go back and report to John what you hear and see. The blind receive sight, the lame walk, those who have leprosy are cured, the deaf hear, the dead are raised, and the good news is preached to the poor. Blessed is the man who does not fall away on account of me." As John's disciples were leaving, Jesus began to speak to the crowd about John. What did you go out into the desert to see? A reed swayed by the wind? If not, what did you go out to see? A man dressed in fine clothes? No, those who wear fine clothes are kings and palaces. Then, what did you go out to see? A prophet. Yes, I tell you, a more than a prophet. This is one about whom it is written, I will send my messenger ahead of you, who will prepare your way before you. I tell you the truth, among those born of women, there has not risen anyone greater than John the Baptist. Yet he who is least in the kingdom of heaven is greater than he. The word of God for the people of God.
Thanks be to God. Doubts about Jesus, who he was, if he is really the Messiah, the promised one, the Savior, the Christ, if he was really the Son of God. Do you think about it much? Or at all? You say, no, I never have believed that. Or do you say, yes, I have no trouble believing that. My doubts do not bother me because they are so minor. Do you ever wonder if Jesus really is the one? The title of the sermon today is, He is the One. And that's my proclamation from my vantage point, from where I stand, from my belief, that Jesus is the One that was sent from God. You've heard the passage from Matthew 11, 1 through 11. If I would have a text today, it would be the verse, are you the expected one? John's question to Jesus. Are you the expected one? Or should we look for another? You know, normally I don't preach from one verse. And I really don't today. You usually take a passage and expound upon it. But if you would center in on one question, one verse today, it would be that verse. What is the situation that John found himself in? It's kind of explained. John the Baptist was in prison. John the Baptist had been critical of the king. King Herod. And in John's day, you didn't criticize the king and do well. You find the criticism of the king or the reference to this in Matthew 14. He explains it a little further. Also in Luke chapter 3, Mark chapter 6. Herod was the king, and he held John's future in his hand. Sitting in jail, prison. William Barclay makes a comment about this. He's done great research. And he says it was Herod Antipas. There were many Herods
He was king in Galilee, been put there by the Romans. But he took a vacation and he went to Rome. He went to Rome and visited his brother there. And while he was there, he got out of line. He seduced his brother's wife. Her name was Herodias. He came home, back to Galilee, ran his own wife off, or the wife that he had, ran her off, dismissed her, and married his brother's wife, or his sister-in-law, Herodias, stealing her away from her husband, who was his brother. They were a great group of people, were they not? John the Baptist saw it being wrong. He knew it was wrong. Kings should act differently. They should set the example. And John the Baptist preached publicly about it. Well, it was never safe to rebuke a king. And Herod took his revenge. John was thrown into the dungeon. And Barclay says, the dungeons of a fortress in the mountains near the Dead Sea. And there he was. A preacher that all the people went out to see. Or many of the people went out to see. The new kid on the block, so to speak. Preaching and proclaiming, and the community left town and went out to the Jordan River just to hear. Dressed rather funny, ate strange foods. We mentioned that last week. Incidentally, this is the second sermon this Advent where John the Baptist is almost the center of attention, but not quite. It's always Jesus. John was pointing to Jesus. Preparing the way for Jesus. But now he's in jail. And he had such popularity that he got arrested, taken out, thrown in a dungeon. Sitting in jail, this man of the field who probably spent most of his time, even nights, outside. Even if they describe his dress, camel's hair, animal skins. Locusts, eating those bugs. We mentioned that one week. Kind of, did we not? And he had time to think and to wonder and to question and to doubt. John had prepared the way for Jesus. Go back to chapter 3. He had proclaimed that Jesus would baptize with the Holy Spirit and with fire when he said that he only baptized with water for the remission of sin. He had said of Jesus when Jesus came, and you find this in the Gospel of John, Jesus came to him as he was baptizing, and he said, pointed to Jesus, or called their attention to him, and said, behold, or look, there's the Lamb of God who has come to take away the sins of the world. The whole world. Come to pay for the penalty of the sin of the whole world. And then he had baptized Jesus. Not willingly, but he submitted to Jesus' urging and baptized him. He had heard the voice from heaven saying about Jesus as he came up out of the water, this is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased. And John had testified about Jesus. He said of Jesus, I saw the Spirit descending from heaven like a dove. That's why the symbol for the Holy Spirit is that of a dove. John said, I saw the Spirit descending from heaven like a dove. And it abode upon him. John, that was John's words, or they are recorded as John's words. And it rested on him, or it abode upon him. John stood by as two of his disciples, at least two of them. John had disciples like Jesus. And two of the disciples left John and followed Jesus. And we don't see any problem that John had with that. He knew they were following a greater teacher, the Savior. But some disciples stayed with John because he still had disciples when he was in jail. Maybe he had to recruit some more. But he still had disciples when he was in jail, or he had disciples when he was in jail. And sitting in jail with his doubts, with his questions, it is possible that Jesus had not met his expectations, John's expectations of the Messiah. He had been in the general area where Jesus was, and surely he had heard about Jesus' activities. He might have even heard Jesus preach, but he may have heard about Jesus' preaching. You know, preachers hear, if they don't hear other preachers, they hear about other preachers. They hear about his, he more than likely heard about how Jesus taught and some of the things that Jesus taught. And they may have said, John, Jesus is not as hard as you are. He don't bust our toes like you do. Why don't you soften up a little bit, John? John was a hard teacher. Some had expected Jesus. Many had expected Jesus to come and raise up an army. And raise up an army and overthrow the Romans and run them out of their country, and they could live in peace and prosperity and comfort. Some had expected Jesus, when he came on the scene, to clean house, to blast those enemies, get them out of their hands. Leave them alone. Let them honor God and glorify God. And as he sat there in prison, a man that had the free run of the countryside, it was all boxed in, possibly with no light or very little light, in a dungeon. He wondered, have I been mistaken? Was I that wrong? Was Jesus really the one that was promised, the one that we have hoped for generations? John needed to know. See, death was in his future, and he likely knew that death was in his future. John, you know, he had to say it. Even if they killed him, he had to let Herod know that he was wrong. He couldn't hold his peace. He couldn't ignore his sin, Herod's sin. And he likely knew that death was in his near future. So he needed to know, when, you know, it's okay if we think we got 40 years to live. We can get everything right in the next decade, can we not? But if it's one day that we know tomorrow at 12 o'clock we're going to die. We'd be different people all day, wouldn't we? All night, wouldn't we? All morning tomorrow, we'd be different people, would we not? We would. I would. Go make amends for any thing that I had messed up. Go tie up those loose ends. Explain to the wife what the checkbooks were or are. How much we owe. What she needed to pay. What she could expect. But spiritually, spend some time on our knees, would we not? Some extra time if we thought tomorrow was the day. Or tonight at 6 o'clock. Or as soon as we eat supper. Or before we eat supper. Perish the thought. John needed to know. So he sends his disciples. He couldn't go himself. He sends his disciples to Jesus to ask Jesus, "Are you the one? Or have I put my faith in the wrong one? What about your doubt? What about my doubt? Do you have any doubts? My doubts are not about Jesus. For some reason, I've been given the benefit of having this some kind of faith. I want to put an adjective in the faith. But this, I can just believe. And I can just believe. And is that a Holy Spirit thing? I hope it is. I believe it is. But I can believe in the virgin birth. I don't know how it happened. I don't need to know. I can believe that Jesus, His dying on the cross, paid for every sin that I have ever committed and every sin that you have ever committed and even the sin that Herod committed and his stepdaughter committed and his new wife committed. So they had John's head cut off. And I can believe that Jesus' death on the cross paid for all of them. And how we apply that to our lives, how we get forgiveness, is believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. Trust Him. Confess our sin and claim His forgiveness. My problem, my doubt comes from myself. Not about what even the Bible says about Jesus. My doubt comes from me. Have I done enough? Have I tied up all the loose ends? Have I been too lazy one day? Should I really take off a day a week? And the Bible teaches that pretty strongly, too. But maybe I should have made one more visit, knocked on one more door, and prayed one more prayer, or held the people for one more verse of that song in the invitation. And begged more and pleaded more to urge you to get in the fold. But my answer comes from Jesus. He answered that in John 3:16. For God so loved the world, or for God so loved Larry, that He gave Jesus. That if Larry would believe in Jesus, he would not perish, but would have everlasting life. And I believe in Jesus. So my doubt is not about Jesus. My doubt is about me. And then Jesus answers that. Or when Paul wrote to the Ephesians saying that we're not saved by our works, because if we were, we'd be running around bragging about our works and how we got saved because we did this and that and something else. Paul says to the Ephesians, you're saved by grace through faith. And even that faith is not of ourselves. It's of God. It's a gift of God. So that none of us can boast. And then we look at Paul writing to the Romans in chapter 10, chapter 8. But from chapter 10 he says, if we believe with our heart and confess with our mouth that Jesus is the Messiah or the Savior, we're saved. And I've done that again this morning. So my doubts are not about me. My doubts are not about Jesus. They're about me. But then Jesus answers them for me. Now, let's look at Jesus now. We've spent some time on John and spent some time on me and a little bit on Jesus. Let's look at Jesus now. Jesus says to the disciples, you go tell John to consider what you have heard and what you have seen, or what you hear and see. And there are six things. Can you stand a six-point sermon now? Do we have that much time? Said the blind see. Find it in Matthew 15 where Jesus healed a blind man. He's going to make some notes on your place there and go look them up. I didn't do it all for you. I just let you go look them up. Matthew 15, 30 and 31. Also, the story of blind Bartimaeus. Is that the 19th chapter of Luke? Or did I get that wrong? Well, just look up Bartimaeus. Bartimaeus was this blind man sitting by the side of the road. Jesus and a crowd were going by, kind of a somewhat of a parade, and blind Bartimaeus started crying out, have mercy on me, and they tried to shut him up, and he wouldn't shut up. And finally Jesus called for him to come, and he gave him sight for his blind eyes. But there's also a spiritual blindness that Jesus gives us. Probably giving you some spiritual sight. Spiritual, let me say, put it another way. There's some spiritual blindness that we need Jesus to heal us of, is what I'm saying. Spiritual blindness. I still remember Bethel College, a boy named Tom Bates. Was a terrible student. He wouldn't go to class, but he was a good actor. He played the part of a blind man in a little skit one night that the preacher from Murfreesboro right now was the director of. And the line that I remember from that play is Tom was crawling around on the stage and groping around on the stage. And I don't even remember who said the line, but it was said, none are so blind as them that refuse to see. Shut our eyes sometimes to the truth. And Jesus comes and opens our blind eyes. The blind see. And then Matthew 9 and Mark 6, they refer to Jesus healing every disease. And blindness is included in that list. And then Jesus said, tell John that you see the lame walking. Oh, there are many examples. The centurion's servant had palsy. Matthew chapter 8, Luke chapter 7. Palsy is mentioned in the healing of palsy from Matthew 10. Mark 2, Luke 5. And then the lepers were cleansed. Tell John that you have seen and heard about the lepers, people with leprosy being cleansed. The one that I think about is the ten who came to Jesus, and Jesus told them to go let the priest examine them, where they could go back into society. They were banned from society. And they started to the priest, and one looked and noticed that he was cleansed. And he went back and thanked Jesus. And Jesus wondered where the rest of them were. But the one went back. And then the deaf hear. He said, go tell John that I've enabled the deaf to hear. Luke chapter 7, which is the same as we hear the reference here in Matthew 11. Mark chapter 7, in the Decapolis, he gave hearing to the deaf. Matthew chapter 15. Mark chapter 9, following the transfiguration. I think it's Mark chapter 9. Jesus came down from the Transfiguration, the Mount of Transfiguration with Peter, James, and John, where he had met with the giver of the law, Moses, and the prophet of old, Elijah. And he came down and the disciples were trying to heal the boy. One of the problems he had was deafness. And they couldn't do it. He was having fits also. And Jesus came down and healed him. But there's spiritual deafness. just like none are so blind as those that refuse to see, none are so deaf as those that refuse to hear. We still sometimes stick our fingers in our ears when we begin to hear something. Or we turn a deaf ear, or we think of something else. And then the dead are raised up. Dead being raised up. Two examples in the New Testament. Many in the Old Testament. Lazarus in the New Testament. Gospel of John chapter 11. Then the widow of Nain. Physically dead. On the way to the graveyard. In the burial box. And Jesus raised the boy up and sent him home with his mother. And then there are some spiritually dead who are raised. One I think of is Zacchaeus. He was a chief, a tax collecting chief. He admitted it himself. He confessed it. He was changed. He was made alive in Jesus Christ. Today salvation has come to your house. And then the poor have the gospel preached to them. Matthew chapter 10. Jesus sent 12 out to preach. Mark chapter 6. Luke chapter 9. There were 12 sent out. Then at one time Jesus sent out 70 to wherever they went to go and preach the gospel to the poor. Now why did they stress the poor? Had the poor not always had the gospel preached to them? But it was pointed out, I discovered this week, that in the Old Testament, and went back and looked, or just think back, in the Old Testament, the prophets mostly spoke to the kings, to the high class, to the uppity people. They were telling, I think of one, Amos, telling the people of Bashan, calling the women, probably some men there too, but you cows of Bashan, laying around on your couches and persecuting the poor. And you can find time and time again where the prophets spoke to the leadership of the country, telling them to be nice. They were preaching about the poor, but here comes Jesus preaching to the poor, going out among the countryside, going out by the seashore or the riverbank. That's where Paul preached by the riverbank, one of Jesus' servants later. But going out and preaching wherever the poor people were, even the hungry, they didn't have enough food to get them through the day. Jesus preached to the common man. And Jesus preached the message of salvation. Where John came and said, "You vipers, you better straighten your life up." Kind of a harsh sermon. Jesus came and preached salvation, redemption, forgiveness, help for the weary. A kind of preaching. So go tell John what you hear and what you see. So I've come to tell you what the Bible says about Jesus. If you have any doubt that He's the one, probably if you're here this morning, you haven't any doubt. But in case you do, in case it's in the back of your mind, is Jesus really the one that I can put my faith in? Look at the evidence. Look at the evidence. Look at His life. A number of years ago, this week I kept thinking there's a song somewhere that He's the one. He's the one. And I wanted us to close this service by proclaiming He's the one. And I mentioned to Sam, and Sam, well, I wrote a song. Don't know what in the hymn book, and I wrote through every hymn book that we had that I could put my hand on, and I couldn't find it. So Sam said, well, I wrote one, and I want to read you the first two lines. Sam's proclamation in song, and you probably sung this South America, all over Middle Tennessee and Alabama, etc. Sam says, He is the one. So this is Sam's testimony. He is the one, God's holy Son. I believe in His holiness. I try to walk in His truth. I have forgiveness. The Holy Spirit too, because He is the one, God's only Son. C.S. Lewis wrote, it's been often quoted, He's either the Son of God or who he says he is. Jesus is either who he says he is, or he was a lunatic. You have to choose. Is he your Savior? This might be a great time to trust him if you have not already done so. If you're not already trusting him. The angels proclaim Jesus to be the Messiah, the Savior. What child is this whose birthday we celebrate? Let's turn to 137. 137. And sing that song that asks, what child is this? This is Christ, the King. Christ, the King. Will you trust him today? 137. 1 and 3. Thank you for the faith to believe and trust that Jesus is the promised one. Let us share it as well as believe it. In his name, that precious name of Jesus, amen.